everyone, welcome back to But Why Though Reviews. This week we are talking about Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Just today the finale episode was released, so we thought it would be a fantastic idea to go through our expectations, what we loved about the show, and just really get into it. So for those of you who haven't seen, I am also doing this with my pal CJ. I'm your host, Aaron. CJ, say hello.
Hello.
And let's get into it. So Star Trek Strange New Worlds, a spin-off from popular characters from season two of Star Trek Discovery, where they were jettisoned from the crew of the Discovery in a war to save the future. And Paramount launched its own separate series featuring the crew of the Enterprise with Captain Pike at the helm. Goes back into a week-to-week adventure episode of the week, and we find the crew getting into all kinds of mischief, again, led by Captain Pike with his science officer Spock at his ready, and just a whole brilliant ensemble of cast. So, CJ, what were your expectations heading into Strange New Worlds, given of what we'd seen from a couple of this crew from Star Trek Discovery?
I was expecting a different vibe from Discovery, because Discovery was more delved into more of the darker aspects of Trek. You know, they brought up Section 31, the Mirror Universe, and the current seasons had them zip into the future where Starfleet was completely decimated. So I was expecting something different, especially since this series is supposed to take place a decade before Star Trek, the original series. So something in that aesthetic would be fun. I was also looking forward to more of Captain Pike, because Anson Mount really won me over with his performance. I was like, okay, I could definitely see a series with more of this guy. And yeah,
it's strange from my perspective. I haven't been a big follower of the recent Star Trek, but you know, up until this point, and I got the opportunity. Paramount sent me over some screeners, which was awesome. Though, big shout out to Paramount Plus, and of all the episodes I watched, it really kind of lifted my spirits and kind of had me on the train tracks to go towards what wanted to watch more Star Trek. You know, after I watched these couple of episodes, and I really went in with no expectations. I hadn't even watched the trailer when I first dived into it, but you know, immediately off the back of the first episode, I was in. I was surprised at how engaging it all was, and how enticing and compelling the crew were, and just that like ensemble cast, and again Anson Mount's performance as well. I mean, so much so that it's encouraged me to go back now and dig through what Paramount Plus has to offer from its other Star Trek show. So it's interesting, because again, I came in with zero expectations, but I left feeling highly satisfied and really rewarded. Like, and I think that's, I don't know how you feel as a long-term Star Trek fan, but I feel like Strange New Worlds does a wonderful job in being kind of like a transitional piece into Star Trek as a larger narrative. Like, it's a great jumping on story for anyone who hasn't really watched any Star Trek to begin with. I mean, I feel like, what do you think?
I definitely agree there. Like, if you are a longtime Star Trek fan, or if you've never watched an episode of Star Trek, this is a great thing, because this is a great entry point, because they give you the gifts of what Starfleet is about, what the Enterprise is doing, and how everything works. And you can follow it along, even if you've never seen an episode of Star Trek. And it's great. And a lot of that, it lives on, both the strength of the ensemble cast as well as the episodic. You don't necessarily have to jump in the first episode or even the last one. You can just pick an episode, go from there, and you'll be good.
So obviously, diving into this, we had Anson Mount returning from the crew of Discovery as Captain Christopher Pike, Ethan Peck as Spock, and Rebecca Rumjan as Una Chin Riley, or Number One. And then we had the rest of the cast. So I guess, leading into that first episode, like what were your initial reactions when you first kind of watched through those first couple of episodes?
My first couple of episodes was like, this is a really well-knit cast. Like, they interact really well with each other, and all these characters are really interesting. And it's fun to see where these characters are at their point of life. Like, Pike is grappling with events of Discovery's second season, and that becomes his storyline through the season. And Spock has his classic struggle between the human half and his Vulcan half, not to mention he's engaged, which is fun. And we get to see a different version of Nyota Uhura, played by Celia Rose Gooding. And this Uhura is not the confident, calm Uhura who's gotten the Enterprise out of jam. This is the Uhura who's questioning her place in Starfleet and her connection to the crew. And over time, that grows. And Uhura is kind of our entry point in this series, and I really like that.
Well, I was going to say, because she joins on as an ensign, right? So she's
going through Starfleet training when a series.
Yeah, she's brand new to the crew of the Enterprise. So she's almost like as a viewer, as an audience member, she's kind of like our eyes to, you know, the situation as a whole. So it was really interesting watching her. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that I really liked about the show. Again, I've kind of watched, you know, a bit of the Next Generation with Picard. I love Picard as a Paramount Plus show as well. But that's kind of really been the extent of kind of like my Star Trek experience, other than, you know, a couple of the J.J. Abrams films. But there's that original, you know, series as far as the crew, the synonymous characters that have kind of like lived through decades of just like pop culture icons. And Uhura, like when you hear that name, you're like, oh my God, like I don't think I realized, again, diving into this, what I was getting myself in for, that this was the beginnings of that framework of the crew of the Enterprise. And it was so nice to see kind of like, almost like them revisit what made, you know, and the original series is very problematic as well. It's a product of its time, but like redoing that, but without directly redoing it, it's almost kind of like a reboot, but given it doesn't have to lean on the fact that it's, you know, Captain Kirk, it's Pike instead. Like, you've still got room there to kind of play within stories that haven't been ever told before, but you've still got that familiarity of, you know, crew members who, you know, we all very well know, again, in pop culture.
Yeah, because it kind of is similar to Obi-Wan Kenobi, and that it's taking place before something we all know well enough, but it's well enough to be done on its own merits. Like, you don't necessarily have to have watched the Star Wars prequels to watch and understand Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you don't necessarily have to watch the original series to have understand Strange Worlds. Both stand on their own, and both are, yep, again, propelled by characters, because again, it's that character that's been a big draw for the Star Trek, and I think the series really excels at that.
I mean, and you're right, you're absolutely right. There's some phenomenal cast, and I think that's what really surprised me as far as, you know, like initial reactions, was how strong that ensemble cast were. You had Melissa Navia as Erica Ortegas, Jess Bush as Nurse Christine Chapel, Christina Chong as La'an Noonien Singh, which I love. I thought she was phenomenal. She's
my favorite character.
She was one of my favorite characters because she's just so by the book in her delivery. And, you know, one of the holodeck episode where she, you know, she just delivers some fantastic acting. I really, really liked that. But then another surprise for me was Bruce Horrock as Hemna as well. I really liked his introduction for his character as well. Like, again, you know, one of the only aliens of the crew as well.
Yeah, because most of the alien and what's fun about Hemna is that most of the alien crew tends to be struggling with their humanity. Spock, it's, am I Vulcan or human?
Yeah.
Data, am I more than an android? And Seven of Nine, you know, yeah, coming off of being a Borg.
Yeah,
with Hemna, he's more or less, I am an alien and I'm really good at engineering. And I like how he and
he's just no nonsense. He's just, yeah, like, you silly humans, I know what I'm, yeah, doing.
Yeah, exactly. Dude was straight into the point and really, really good. And I really love the connection he and Uhura had, because Yeah, that was really, really well done and led to an especially heartbreaking episode nine.
I was going to say, it was really well done, and I think that's true of a lot of the way this ensemble cast again sells itself, is the fact that it's not just how they interact with Pike, but it's how they interact with each other and that like close-knit community that kind of bonds them together. And you really, it jumps off the screen. You really feel it, you know, when they're going through things, and they're very interchangeable again. Like they all work off each other so well. I was genuinely surprised by it again. You know, I went back and watched Discovery, and one of the things I definitely struggled a bit more with Discovery on, especially in that first season, was just, you know, it's got a larger through plot, which I, you know, still immensely enjoy, but like it focuses on a select few characters, and you never really get the time or the space to understand, you know, the larger current hand. Whereas Stranger Worlds absolutely lends itself to that, especially with the format of kind of like the, you know, the adventure of the week, or the, you know, the new planet or the new mission of the week. And they, I really appreciated how they took the time to focus on different, you know, crew members. Dr. Mbenga obviously gets some great time in there to tell some of his story as well. Like you said, Uhura gets a lot of time as an ensign to kind of try and discover herself with, you know, on board the crew. So I was surprised, given the length of the episodes, how much time was spent developing each of those characters in connection with that larger plot. So it's very different to kind of what we've seen to this date from, I'd say, modern Star Trek at this point.
Oh yeah, because most of the shows, Discovery, Picard, and even Prodigy have a serialized effort. It's like one big story, and each episode progresses a story. Here, it's more Adventure Week. Yeah, there are threads that get picked up on, such as Pike's whole dilemma and the general threat of the Gorn, but
Which
that.
is great as well, and I love that you brought that up, because I mean, again, this is a non-spoiler review discussion, but like some of the episodes, they revisit things from classic Star Wars, but with a completely fresh look. And I really get the sense that there's a lot of like people behind the show and behind the making of it that are Star Trek fans. They care about the franchise, and they want to make it exciting and like, you know, vibrant. And, you know, seeing the Gorn, which is kind of like one of those classic, you know, Star Trek aliens that are, you know, are supposed to be a formidable foe, reimagined in the most terrifying sense. And really, we've barely scratched the surface there from what we've seen this season.
Oh yeah, because the Gorn up to that point had never been seen, so you can still, use that as a horror element. And I really like that they played into the
It's almost
horror
kind of
element.
like the unknown foe that's off screen. You know, they're attacking humans for breeding camps and feeding off them. And it's just this, it's almost like this myth, like you don't see them, but it's always the threat. And it, you know, I think the first time you encounter like them, you it's all only through stories. They build that myth up through the exposition of things they've done without actually laying eyes on them.
And it works so well. And yeah, I like the approach to certain elements, like different there are references to there's one episode references Star Trek V, the movie, and I was like, oh, okay. And again, there are more riffs on classic Star Trek tropes, like the holodeck malfunctions episode and the time travel
You've got to
episode.
have a holodeck episode when it comes to Star
Exactly,
Wars. I
because
feel like it's just one of those episodes that has to go in there. It's almost kind of like just a classic part of the franchise at this point, as far as like the old school, like long form television shows as well.
definitely.
Yeah, so no, it's been really good. I mean, I genuinely enjoyed it, and it's been quite surprising. I mean, one of the things that I really struck me is just the aesthetics, the visuals of the Enterprise. It's just so bright, even with the uniforms. Like, I watched them, like, again, Strange New Worlds first before I saw Discovery, and then I went back and saw Discovery, and I went, man, those uniforms just don't live up. And I kept having to remind myself, okay, well, Discovery aired, I think it was like the first season was 2017, but
yep,
you know, and this is just coming out now. They've had the time to kind of figure out, but those crew designs on the shirts were impeccable. The aesthetics on the ship were fantastic. And then just even every time they went to an alien, the show was, they had some money behind it. Like, it really looks beautiful.
Oh yeah. Like, they're throwing some serious stuff into this. Like, the space fight scenes look ripped right out of a movie. And I love the general aesthetic has managed to hit that sweet spot between the Abrams films and the original series. Everything looks nice and sleek, but it kind of still has that same vibe as the original series, particularly in terms of big, bright colors and stuff like that. And I really enjoy that.
I was going to say, I'm kind of glad that, you know, Viacom, Paramount Plus has kind of lent this way, is kind of like getting back in touch with its roots as far as like classic Star Wars and, you know, reimagining things that we've seen, you know, decades ago, as opposed to kind of like just jumping into the franchise cinematic route, kind of like a Star Wars. I think something like a Star Trek, and especially Strange New Worlds, is the tip of the spear. Is it is really kind of like a bright shining star as far as what you can do, you know, within this sandbox. And it's been really exciting to see. Again, fantastic cast, you know, brilliant story, amazing visuals, and it's just been really captivating. I have found myself legitimately surprised at, you know, how compelling it's been, which brings me to my next point. So obviously synonymous with any Star Trek show, with any Star Trek crew, is always the captain. So how did you feel about Anson Mount as Captain Christopher Pike?
He is phenomenal. He is phenomenal. I know a lot of people probably know Anson Mount from Inhumans, and I'm sorry for that, but
absolutely me. I'm in that boat.
that's fair. But he headlined a show on AMC called Hell on Wheels, which was really great. And his character, obviously Pike is different from that character, but Pike still manages to hit several notes. He's really the cool dad captain, basically.
He is. He is very much the cool dad. I mean, complete with this just like beautiful hairline. Like, it's just how he gets it. It defies gravity. Like,
this is a
Anson Mount is my hair goals. He's my hair goals. Like, that's what, when I'm older, I want to have hair like him.
The product in the Starfleet Times must be amazing, because his hair just never.
It doesn't quit. It holds firm. He is a, you know, strong captain, leads his crew, and his hair is like, we will not budge, sir. We are here for you.
But more than that, I like the approach that Mount took. He said that he wanted Pike to be more collaborative, and he incorporated, like, he says he likes to cook a lot, and so he incorporated that into Pike's character. So you see Pike cooking meals for folks and inviting people to dinner, and I think that's really great, because
that was a really compelling piece of the story, and especially his character development. Like, he never acts like he's bigger than the crew or he knows more. You do get that very much collaborative sense, and it's interesting, you know, I'd noticed the cooking thing. I didn't realize that was you know, what Anson Mount had kind of himself had brought personally to the role.
Yeah, I had read that in an interview. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And it kind of fits with the whole aesthetic of Starfleet, you know, sitting down, finding break, and people do that over meals. So, yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it kind of makes sense as well. Like, you're on a ship that's only so large, and you're in space consistently going from place to place. Like, you'd imagine there's going to be a lot of that shared quality time. And I think oftentimes you see it, they're in the mess hall, kind of like, and it's, you know, some of the other crew, but like with the leadership staff as well, like, you see them, you know, within Pike's quarters. But there's a couple of, you know, scenes within each, quite a few different episodes where they have those same meetings. I think very early on in one of the first couple of episodes, Pike invites, you know, some of the ensigns, and they have like, it's almost like a big family dinner, essentially.
Yeah, he doesn't act like he, since he's the captain, I am above everybody. He generally wants to get to know people and generally talks to them.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that goes same for all his enemies. He's willing to talk to the villains too. And just like, hey, let's talk this out.
He's very compelling. He's very like engaging. Like he's just got this like charisma that just oozes. Like you want to listen to. And it's interesting because like I'm a massive Picard fan. I love Patrick Stewart. I've watched him in so many things. And when he speaks, like he commands a room, like you listen, it's that instant respect. But Mount has that same vibe about him, but it's in a completely different delivery as far as that. Again, he's very charismatic. Like he's just very charming. Like he's a lot more down to earth and a lot more approachable. Like he smiles a lot. He's, again, you see him cooking in an apron and he invites, you know, people to speak their mind. And it's a very different take on some of the captains we've seen from Star Trek in the past. But Anson Mount, like, I was surprised how well he pulls it off. And again, I knew him from Inhumans and I feel terrible for judging him based on Inhumans because, you know, that's the man has far more talent than I, you know, absolutely gave him credit for. I'm excited to see him do more with this as well.
Definitely. Plus, he kind of got to see himself in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So I think it all evens out.
Cosmic karma. Mm-hmm. So coming to the end of the review, CJ, what are your reasons to watch or not watch Strange New Worlds?
My reason to watch Strange New Worlds is it is a great hook for longtime Star Trek fans as well as newcomers to the franchise. It captures the spirit of Star Trek, the pure unalterated spirit, and its ensemble cast is phenomenal. You will walk away lacking at least one character out of there, if not more. So great characters, great vibes, just a great starting point for anybody who wants to get into Star Trek or, you know, loves sci-fi. So yeah, really great watch.
Absolutely. I fully agree with you. Again, for me, it was that jumping off point, and it's led to me watching, you know, multiple different iterations of Star Trek. I'm currently finishing up Discovery and I can't wait to jump into Lower Decks, and it's all thanks to Strange New Worlds and the vibe it threw. It really does a great job of kind of not, it has those elements for a long-term Star Trek fans, but it also has that inviting allure for new fans to say, hey, we've got something for you guys as well. Like, you know, just because you're not like, you know, we're not going to throw you into the deep end and expect everyone to know. And like you said, the ensemble crew, like there is more than enough characters for you to walk away and like, yeah, there's a couple of people I like. And again, that's one of the fantastic things about this show is like, it has such a strong ensemble and the story itself takes the time for you to be able to get to know that ensemble cast as well. They're not just a captivating crew like that does well within their individual scenes. They do get their own, their time to shine, as you will. I mean, for me, Anson Mount definitely stands, you know, head and shoulders above it. As a captain should, he leads the way. But I was actually quite surprised at Ethan Peck as well. I really enjoyed his iteration of Spock. Spock's a very heavily done character in the Star Trek franchise at this point. So I did worry a little bit with him. It might feel a little overdone at times, but I think Peck has done a good job in making that role, you know, his own, especially, you know, after, Leonard Nimoy as well. So, I was again, just genuinely surprised. It's just fun. It really is an enjoyable escape. It's such a wonderful dive into just great sci-fi, really. I mean, Star Trek defined the generation, you know, it defined that sci-fi generation decades and decades ago. And it's kind of reminding us why it has done that and why it's continued to capture such a big audience. So I'm glad. I really enjoyed this, and I cannot wait for season two. And I know you and I have talked offline that I think they just finished production on season two, right?
That is correct. Yes, production on season two has wrapped, and so I guess we will probably be receiving more word sometime down the future. Sometime in the future. So yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I can't wait. If you liked Star Trek Strange New Worlds, we would love to hear your thoughts in the comments, or you can join us in the Discord, where we have quite a few Star Trek fans in there that have been loving the show. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on what you thought of this wonderful series. CJ, where can the wonderful people find you and your writing?
You can find me on Twitter at CJ Writes Things. And if you Google my name, you can find my writing at Collider, Slash Film, and IGN, as well as But Why Though. And I am also the co-host of Into the Spider-Cast, where with my co-host Swara, we talk all things Spider-Man.
Epic. All right. And I have been Aaron. You can find me at British CPA on Twitter and Instagram. We really appreciate you tuning and listening in. Please go like, subscribe, retweet, review, whatever you can. It all helps, and we love your support. Make sure to check out the site, the YouTube channel, the Twitch, you know, anything to keep the conversation going. And again, you can always find us in Discord chatting about the latest goings on in pop culture. We'll join you next time. Thank you very much.
Hi guys, live long and prosper.